Chapter 7. The Well. I returned to the cave at midnight and quickly fell asleep. The next night, Elsevier and I went aboard the Bonaventure and we left the Dorset coast for the Isle of Wight. Early in the morning, we were already walking in the streets of Newport and soon found the Bugle Inn. The owner of the inn remembered Elsevier and was very kind to us. He gave us a big, clean, sunny room and lots of good food. Elsevier was a prince among the smugglers. He was out most of the day getting information about Carisbrooke Castle, which was now used as a prison for French prisoners. I remained at the inn and waited for him. He was a clever man and made friends with the guards of the prison. He entered the castle a few times and saw the well.
"I wanted to get to the well without telling the man who looks after it,"
Elsevier said.
"But it's impossible, because I need his help. I don't trust him, but I had to tell him about the treasure in the well. He said he'll help us if we give him some money."
"When are we going to see the well?" I asked.
"Tomorrow morning at 6,
said Elsevier. The next morning we left the Bugle Inn before 6 and walked to the castle. It was a hot, rainy July morning, and we got wet. The man who let us in was big and tall and about 30 years old. He had black hair, and I didn't like his eyes. He took us through many rooms, and we finally got to the well.
"Who is going down into the well?"
asked the man.
"I am,"
said Elsevier, holding a long rope. "No, Elsevier," I said. "Let me go. I'm smaller and lighter. Please."
"All right, John, go on, but be very careful and don't look down,"
said Elsevier.
"You can't trust a boy down there,"
said the man, looking at the well.
"John isn't a boy. He's a man, and I trust him,"
said Elsevier. I got into the wooden bucket, and Elsevier tied an 80-foot rope to it. He and the man lowered me gently into the well. As I went down, it became darker and colder. I had a candle to help me see the wall. At the end of the rope, I started looking around. I moved my candle along the wall to see if there was a hole or a hiding place, but I couldn't see anything.
"Have you found anything?"
the man shouted.
"No, nothing,"
I shouted back. Then the bucket moved down a little and I continued looking. Suddenly, I saw the letter Y clearly marked on a stone of the well. It was the symbol of the Mahoons. I moved the stone a bit with my hand and then pulled on it. It came out of the wall, and I saw a small hole. I put my fingers into the hole and pulled out a tiny bag. I opened the bag slowly and found a diamond as big as a walnut. It was Blackbeard's diamond. I had never seen a diamond before, and I turned it between my fingers. It was beautiful.
"What are you doing?"
shouted the man.
"Have you found something?"
"Yes," I shouted. "I found the diamond. Pull me up."
They pulled me up quickly, and at the top of the well, I saw the man's face.
"Give me the diamond. Put it in my hand."
"No," I said. "Let me get out of the bucket first."
"Let the boy get out of the bucket,"
said Elsevier angrily. I climbed out of the bucket with the diamond in my hand.
"Give me the diamond,"
cried the man.
"You found it in my well, so the diamond is mine."
Then he turned to Elsevier and said,
"I know who you are. Your name is Block, and there's a price of £50 on your head.
I quickly put the diamond into my pocket. Careful, Elsevier, I cried. He's got a gun. The two men started fighting, and although Elsevier was older, he was much stronger. As they fought, the man slipped on the wet stones and fell into the well, screaming. We heard a loud noise when he got to the bottom. Elsevier was sad, because he did not want to kill him. I started thinking of Grace's words. The diamond is evil. It has a curse on it. I looked at Elsevier and said, Let's throw the diamond back into the well. It's evil, and it has a curse on it. Elsevier thought for a moment and then said,
No, no. You're good and honest, John. Give me the diamond and I'll keep it for you. You know you can trust me.
I gave it to him. When we got back to the Bugle, I went upstairs and lay down on the bed, trying to rest and think. Elsevier was downstairs talking to the owner of the inn. When he came upstairs, he said,
It's dangerous for us to stay here, John. There's a Dutch ship leaving for Holland tonight. The owner of the Bugle knows the captain, and he'll take us. The city of The Hague is the most important market in the world for diamonds.
So, a few days later, we arrived in the port of Scheveningen and stayed in a small inn with some sailors. One night, Elsevier pulled the little bag with the diamond out of his pocket and said,
Here, John, you keep it. It's yours. Remember, if you become rich because of this diamond, use the money to rebuild the poorhouses in Moonfleet. That's what Blackbeard wanted to do with it.
I put the diamond in the locket around my neck because it was the safest place. When I was alone, I often opened the locket and looked at the beautiful diamond and dreamt of becoming rich and marrying Grace. But then I always remembered Elsevier's words. Since Elsevier's mother was Dutch, he could speak that language quite well, and he asked around about diamond dealers. He learned that most of the diamond dealers lived in one part of town, and the best one was Crispin Aldebrand. He was rich, he was a good dealer, and asked few questions. He was the right man for us.